the third chelik of the Yemei HaSfira. And the Chinuch, as we all know, teaches us that the Yemei HaSfira, the essence of the Avodah of the Yemei HaSfira, is Hachonah for Kabbalas HaTorah. There are all different explanations. Kabbalah Dike Inyonim. What are these 49 days of preparation? Kinyone Atera, Sfiris. But the Chinuch explains it Ba'ofen Poshut Ma'od. The Chinuch says, Sfira, counting, symbolizes Cheshik. When someone counts for an event, it's an important event, it's something he's looking forward to. And he counts how many days have gone by, how close he is to the way he's, to the day he's looking forward to. The Ikka Hachona for Kabbalah Satera is feeling and working up a tremendous cheshik. If Kabbalah Satera is a dovet study, if it's an incidental thing, if it's not important, there's no Kabbalah Satera. If a person works himself up to a feverish pitch of anticipation, of eagerness, of counting, he's waiting, his shteikikus, then he's prepared, he can be prepared for Kabbalah HaTorah. Why is this the preparation? The Medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni in Yisrael, teaches us a very important lesson. The last few words in Chumash, before the Pasha of Kabbalah HaTorah, of Bachedesh HaShlishi, Vayishalach Moshe es Chesnoi. Moshe Rabbeinu told Yisroi, it's time to go home. Here Yisroi came with a great sacrifice, great difficulty. He didn't come for a picnic. He knew he was coming to a midbar. He left everything that he had to join Klal Yisroel. He was the one Yochid who understood to be Mizgayer. Chazal say it on the Pasuk of Alkeina Lomo Yisahivucho. He wanted to join the Mashcheni Achrechon Arutza of Klal Yisroel. He should have got a place of honor, the way we understand it. The person who comes, when you come to a simcha, to a chasna, the one person who comes from abroad, the brother or the nev, the shvoger, who comes from Eretz Yisrael to the chasna, is the Eruch HaKovitz. Here, Yisrael comes from so far away, with such great difficulty, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, it's time to go home. We're up to Matan Torah now, you've got to leave. The Medrash zukt of them, the Medrash brings a posik. Shlomo HaMelech says, Leiv yodea moras nafshoi uvesimchosoi lo yisarev zo. A person, chalila, is going through great difficulties. He's very sick. He has some family problem. So or he's got some bankruptcy. He's afraid he's going into prison. Whatever it may be. Leiv yodea moras nafshoi. People pat him on the back and say, things will be okay. I feel with you. Only the heart of the one who's suffering really understands Moris Nafshe, feels the bitterness, feels the anguish, feels the pain, feels the difficulty. And when it comes the time that Rebbein Shem sends the Yeshua and he makes a party for his little group of family and friends, Uvesim Chosei Lo Yisarev Zor, people who are strangers, people who don't feel the Simcha, can't be there. If you didn't live through the difficult times, if you didn't appreciate how hard it was where he was, you can't understand the Simcha. Zog de Medrash Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bonai Nishtabdu Betitu Bilveinim, Vezer Yoshav Bichvede Shalaylam, Va'achshav Bo Lismoyach Imoem Besimchas HaTeira, Besimchosoi Lo Yisarev Zoh. It's a remarkable medrash. The medrash says the fullness of the simcha of Kabbalah HaTorah that Yidden felt standing at Har Sinai as Yidden stood and the Rebbeinu Shem said, Anichi Hashem Lekecha, and the Rebbeinu Shem said to them, Atem Tiuli Mamlechas Kainim V'Gei Kodesh, Yidden rubbed their eyes. Can we believe this? A few months ago, we were in such a low strata of society, Avodim, the weakest people wouldn't talk to us. It was an embarrassment to have any shaykhus with Klal Yisrael. And here we are, we've become the Mamlechas Kainim V'Gei Kodesh. The Rebbeinu Shlom treats us, has elevated us to the level of princes. Mekimi me'ofadol, me'ashpois yorim evyein. The Rebbeinu Shlom has taken us out of the garbage. Me'ashpois yorim evyein. Lo'ayshivi im nedivei amoy. That was the hargosha, that was the feeling of every Yid as he stood by Kabbalah HaTorah. To Yisroi, this was all foreign. Yisroi wasn't working with Chaimer Levenim. Yisrael wasn't treated as an outcast by the Avodim. V'zeh yoshav v'chvedi shel olam. He can't appreciate the simcha of Kabbalah HaTorah. V'yishalach Moshe es chesnei. The question is, if Yisrael didn't feel the extent of the simcha, he wasn't a mechutn at this simcha the same way as Yidna. Does that mean he wasn't serious? Does that mean his dedication wasn't real? His rotzen, his desire to be part of Klal Yisrael wasn't sincere? Chazal are teaching us a great lesson. Kabbalah HaTorah is a massive undertaking. When the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Klal Yisrael, Dvorim Koshim Kigidin, by being Klal Yisrael, you may have to suffer a lot for Kabbalah HaTorah. Even Limud HaTorah itself, to truly be Zeicha L'Kisra Shel Torah, you have to put away all the frivolities, all the Havli O'Elam Hazeh. As the Rambam tells us, if you want to be a millionaire and also a Talmud Chochem, that's not the way to think. You have to be prepared to sit nights on Shver Sugyas and Menadid Shinim Yeinov. You want to be Zeicha to be a Ktseis HaChayshin or a Kiveiga. You have to be maimik in Torah b'chol ha'keichus or b'chol ha'chushim. How can a person undertake such an ambitious, such a difficult program? Only if he understands the tremendous privilege of Limud HaTorah. The Kabbalah HaTorah was carried on the wings of Simcha. Klal Yisrael felt such an opportunity, such a great privilege, and that's what propelled him to be Mekabel the Torah. Yisrael didn't feel that Simcha. Our hachona for Kabbalah HaTorah is to rev up that cheshik so that we should stand on Shavuos with such a simcha when we say akdomas and we speak about the Umas HaOlam who metzai Klal Yisrael and they see that Klal Yisrael has this indomitable spirit, they never go under. Klal Yisrael went through Auschwitz, went through Treblinka, and afterwards what did they do? They set up yeshivas. Manu monhu rechimoch, who is the one you love so much, the sophist lay, that you suffer for him on such a high level. Let us give you all the warmth and the comforts of this world. And Klal Yisrael answers back, there's nothing you can give us that can compare to what the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us. The tainig of Ashvera Teisvus, the geshmakim for Emfron Ashvera Rambam, the geshmakim having an erlich, a Yiddish Leben, nothing can compare to that. That's the mahalach of a Yid. Was Makabal Teira Be'emes. It's with that simcha and with that cheshik. We have to look for etzes to build up our cheshik, to knock out any indifference. We shouldn't go to Kabbalah HaTorah. Madu Aloy, why not? If Rebbe Hashem is giving Teira, it's Zayin Teira. It has to be a hagosh of Kihem Chayenu Vairich Yemenu Uvahem Nege Yemun Valayla. How do we inspire ourselves? What do we have to concentrate on and focus to achieve this level of simcha and cheshik for Torah? The Gemara tells us in Aveda Zorah, famous Gemara, that when the Mashiach comes, and Rebbeinu Shlom says, call me, anyone who is Eisik b'Torah should come and be Neitel Schori. And of course, Klal Yisrael stands at the back because they know they're going to be called upon, they don't have to rush to the front of the crowd. They know what they did for thousands of years, but the Umas HaOlam are afraid they'll be left out, so they come rushing up. And the Rebbein Shem says to each Ummah, what's your connection with Limud HaTorah? Where were you? And the Goyim, they start saying, you know, why we built the Verazana Bridge and why we built this and we built skyscrapers. It was all for Klal Yisrael. They should be able to Oasek B'Torah. The Rebbein Shem says, it's all nonsense. Your Kavana wasn't Hashem Shemayim. So the Rebbein Shem, so they say to the Rebbein Shem, after a while they realize that the going is getting bad. So they say to the Rebbein Shem, we weren't given a chance to say Nasa V'Nishma. And the Gemara says, how could they say that? Hifia mehai poron, chozra kadosh baruch hu al kol uma v'uma v'lei kibluo. They were given a chance, they blew it. So the Gemara says, the Goyim will say, okay, we didn't say Nasa V'Nishma, but what about the second thing? Klum kafisa leinu ha kegigis. Klal Yisrael had a second engine that they drive on. Kofa aleim haki gigis v'omim tekablis atirim mutav v'im laav shom tehik v'raschem. Why didn't you do that for us? And the Rebbein Shlom says, Horishenes yashmiyunu sheva mitzvahs shekibaltem heichen kiyamtem. Let's investigate the sheva mitzvahs that you are mekabel. What happened to them? And the Welt fragt der Kasha, briskirov zuchen nevrocha. What has this got to do? At this point in the conversation, suddenly the Rebbein Shem takes out, what about Sheva Mitzvahs? How does that connect? What's it got to do with this question? Okay, so we didn't do our duties over there. We defaulted on the Sheva Mitzvahs. What's that got to do with Kabbalah Sateira? Maybe the pshat is as follows. Tesis asks the Kasha, why did Klal Yisrael need Kof Aleim Haki Gigis? Wasn't it enough that they'd said Nasa V'Nishma? Poshta Pshat may be, the Rebbein Hashem gave Klal Yisrael two engines. There's one koyach that Klal Yisrael had at Maimed HaSinai, with their great clarity they understood, Hasogas Hashem Yisborach, Bekleis HaNefesh, Ponim El Ponim Dibati Imochem. And at that point, Klal Yisrael jumped with it, Ispashtas HaGashmis, Merev Avas Hashem Yisborach, they said Nasa V'Nishma, without any questions. That is the Ahava that propelled Klal Yisrael to be Mekabel the Torah. And there are often times where all of us feel a gewaltige Ahavas Hashem and a gewaltige Ahavas HaTorah, and we sit and we learn with a cheshik and nothing can disturb us. But unfortunately, that doesn't always last. There are times when a person's in a down mode, things aren't going, the cheshik's not so stark. So the Rebbein Shem gave us a second engine. Kofa aleim haki gigis, va'omayim tekablu es atayim mutiv, v'yim lav shom tehikvur aschem. The Rebbein Shalom gave Klal Yisrael a tremendous gift. He took them to the edge of the precipice. He said, look down. What you're seeing over there is the tohu v'voyu of the world without Torah. There is no kiyum ha'olam without Torah. Life has no meaning without Torah. If you want to live, the only way you can live is in Lav Shom Teikvur Aschem. You can only live if you mekabel the Torah. And the Umas Ha'olam say to Hashem Yisborach, if we weren't zeicha to be mekabel Torah with Nasa V'Nishma, how about the Shom Teikvur Aschem? The Rebbein Shalom says a tremendous tshuva to the Umas Ha'olam. There are seven mitzvahs bnei noach, and there are tariag mitzvahs. Seven mitzvahs bnei noach, the Rishonim say, are medinios. They are fakiyim ha'olam. These are the yisaidas, the essence of how a world runs smoothly. Without the constitution of seven mitzvahs bnei noach, the world can't run. And what happened in the Deir HaMabul, bit by bit, and then more rapidly, these yisaidas started eroding. People lived a life based on gzela, based on znus, based on all kinds of corruption, moral bankruptcy. The yesodos of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach went under. And sure enough, exactly as the Rebbein Shleilim had told them, the world went under with them. Behinani mashchisam es ha'oretz, the very land, the people, they're so bankrupt, they're so rotten, that there's no way but to destroy everything we have, like a building that's so full of mold and so full of rot There's no way we could fix the building. We have to knock down the whole building and the karak underneath and start all over again. That's a tremendous lesson to a person who builds a shoddy, cheap building. As the Bnei Noach came out of the Teva, they saw the most inspiring sight human beings have ever seen. They saw a world without a blade of grass, without a sign of life, totally stagnant. And this was a message to them. This is the way the world looks without Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And Rashi brings in Chumash. They were mekabel on themselves to be mekayim Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. It doesn't take long, another few hundred years. And in the times of Avraham Avinu, we find already, they were shtufei zima. They lost their sense of values. The Hisoiris did not last long. The Rebbeinu Shlem says to the Umos Olam, Sheva Mitzvah Shekibaltem Hechen Kiyamtem. If I give you a shock therapy, if I show you something that gives you Hisoiris, how long does it last? You're like people who go in a ward where they see people dying, Rachmana Litzlam, from emphysema and from lung cancer. They throw away their cigarettes with great drama. 2 weeks later, they're smoking again. This Hisoiris doesn't last. What's it going to help if I'm Kof Aleim Haki Gigis? How long would it have lasted by you? You don't have the capability of internalizing his iris. But Klal Yisrael, from that Kof Aleim Haki Gigis, we have an inner his iris. B'chol Yom V'yom Baskel Yetzis Me'asinai. There's an echo of the Baskel from Hasinai. Machrezes V'ymeres. Oy Lohem Lebriyes Me'albeinishol Torah. A terrible life it is to live a life without Torah. Klal Yisrael can absorb that thousands of years later. That's the koyach of Kof Aleim HaKigigis. It goes deeper. We always think Nasav Anishma was a Kabbalah mitoch Cheshik. Kof Aleim HaKigigis is a Kabbalah mitoch Kfir. There's no choice, says Mashman the Gemara. But if you think about it, there's something very deep over here. Every person has all kinds of ritzonis, some good, some not so good, some very powerful. When a person's very hungry, he wants to eat. When a person's not so hungry, the rotzen's not so powerful, he can do without it. The most powerful of all ritzonis is the rotzen, the tshuka to live, the instinct for self-preservation, what a person will do when his life is threatened. The kinds of heights people scaled in the war years, the kind of heavy loads people carried, anything just to live. A tshukas achayim is inbuilt in a person. It's infinite. There's no limit to what a person will do to be able to live. When I was a young boy in the 60s, I used to hear about people in Russia, the repression, the terrible way the government used to control the lives of people. And there was one thing that always puzzled me. In those days, there were some artists, thinkers, intellectuals, that weren't allowed to write poetry and books describing the true situation. They were told by the government everything they write has to extol the virtues of Stalin, of Khrushchev. And they didn't want to do that. So they went underground and they made their own presses. Even though they could have died, some of them did, they could be sent to prison. They defied the authorities. And it always bothered me. If a person's moisa nefesh for bread, is moisa nefesh to live, it's understandable. Why would a person be moisa nefesh to write poetry? The government wants him to write what they want, and he's going to have panosa, do it the way they want. The Torah says there's a very tefa nekuda over here. Every person has a cheshkes achayim. A child of 6 years old sees a car coming at him, he jumps out of the way. No one has to teach him. Nevertheless, when he's 3 years old, he'll walk in the street even though a car is coming. Is it because he has no cheshik to live? No. It's because he doesn't have the seichel to realize his life is being threatened. When a person knows his life is threatened, he'll do anything to live. He doesn't need any education whatsoever. To realize his life is being threatened, there's different levels of intellect, there's different levels of understanding. Chazal tell us, the Rishonim say, there are four levels of life. Daimim, Tzemeach, Chai, Medaber. The power of expression is life itself. When a madaber, when a human being becomes an animal, when he's only writing the poetry, the government tells him he's not really fully alive. Those people were intelligent enough to realize their life is being threatened. They'd do anything to survive. Other people didn't feel that way. The Ribbono Shel Olam knew that the greatest koyach a person has is the drive to live. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam will give a person the matana, that he should recognize the truth that without Torah his life is threatened, that it's like a truck is coming to hit him, chas v'shalom. A life without Torah is kemisa chashuva, state in Rambam. Ki chayim b'li chochmel v'vachsheho kemisa chashuva. When a person realizes that, then there's no end to what he'll do to be able to live. Kofa aleim ha'kegigis, the cheshik of Nasa v'nishma is givaldik, but the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a more profound level of cheshik. So the Ribbono Shel Olam coupled the rotzen to learn Torah with the rotzen from Chaim. Im te kablo es ha-Torah mutav, ve'im lav shom te'ekvur aschem. It's not just a kvir. It's a cheshkes ha-Chaim. When a person is zeicher to have that feeling, that im lav lomali Chaim, life is only worth living if I can learn Torah, then there's no end to what he's capable of doing. There was a Yid in Lakewood who was nifta not long ago, an Alta Yid who lived in Slutsk. And he said that when his parents moved to Slutsk, Reb Lezer Shach wasn't living there already. But the children used to talk about the legend of Reb Lezer the Masmid. They used to talk about Reb Lezer the Masmid. The children used to tell stories how they remember him learning. And one of the stories one of the children told him was, he remembers once late at night, they didn't have electricity, of course, they had candles. And Reb Lezer Zecheinu Livracha had a spluttering candle, and he was sitting and learning. And the Shamas said, Reb Lezer, you're learning with such a bad candle, it's spluttering up and down. You're going to ruin your eyes. So he turned around automatically, spontaneously. He said, No, I'm a lernt nicht auf was darf ein Augen. And if you don't learn, what's the use of having eyes? What do I have eyes for? What's the tachlis of life? The tachlis of life is limud haTorah, kiyum haTorah. If a person has that hagosha, that this is life itself, then there's no end to what a person will go through. Rabbi Yankel Greenwald of Muncie said that he was, the last summer Rabbi Aaron was living, this Yid was going to the mountains in a bus, sitting at the back, and it was pretty much of a crowded bus. And Rabbi Aaron Zecheinu Livracha was getting on the bus to go to the mountains, and he had a suitcase. And as he looked from inside the bus outside, he saw Rabbi Aaron. He said, "Oi, Rabbi Aaron is so old." Rabbi Aaron had become so old, he was very, very sick at that time. They only realized later how sick he was. And he pushed his case onto the bus, and they gave him a seat near the front. He said, as Rabbi Aaron sat down, he looked so old and so weak and so haggard. And he opened up immediately the case and he took out a Rambam. He said, as he watched him looking at the Rambam, it was though a transformation came in front of his eyes. Suddenly he became young and fresh and full of life. That's chiyus. La'olam le'eshkach pikudecho. A person never forgets a dvar Torah, not because he has a good memory. Kivom chiyusani. Because he feels that it's life itself. If we could be magbir, this hagosha, if we could understand this, when we daven and we say, Kehem chayenu v'erich yomenu, then uvahem nege yeman v'layla. With that appreciation of Torah's life, we could learn with such asmoda. I just want to finish off with a vote from Chaim Volozhin on this theme. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim bo v'simcha mu'usha. Chaim Volozhin says, imagine chalila, a person's drowning in a stormy sea, and someone throws him a wooden raft. He just touches it with 10 fingers. He's not going to live. The way he lives is when he realizes this is the make or break of life. He grabs it with his last koichas. However weak he is, however oizgemutchut he is, he knows this is the only chance he has to live. He grabs it. Then it saves his life. So Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Torah is a Eitz Chaim. Who is it an Eitz Chaim for? La machazikim bo, for those who hold on to it because they realize the b'li Torah loma lichayim. If we could absorb that message, that kivom chiyisani, the b'li Torah im loy shom tehikvur aschem, a life living without Torah is worth nothing. We look around, we live in a city where around us there's one huge ashpa. The tinnif of the world is, surrounds us from all sides. And here we are, lohishivim nedivim nedive amoy. A person thinks, I often think this hagosha, I'm sure all of you do. How am I zeicher to discuss and talk about Reb Kiva Eiger and the Ketzos and Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam? What shaychus do we have with such malachi rikia? What a privilege it is. We're out of the ashpa of Eilam Hazeh, we're out of the filth of the world around us, and we're zeicher to be part of the Bnei Melachim. We're zeicher to discuss Torah and discuss the Svaras Akdashis of Rabbi Seinu, malachi rikia. If we absorb that and we feel the cheshik and the simcha, then b'simchosay lo yisarev zar, we won't be zarim, we won't be strangers, we'll be mekabel the Torah. Ki heim chayenu v'irich yameinu al b'zecha to v'hem nege yem v'layla, until we're zecha to the true simcha of b'yis HaMashiach b'meirev yameinu.